welcome to Vlad Savchuk Podcast. Our mission at Vladimir Savchuk Ministries is to reach the world globally and disciple them digitally. Let's dive into this episode. What is the Jesus Revolution? You probably have seen there's a film that came out that generated already $30 million. And this film is featuring the Jesus Revolution, or known as the Jesus People Movement. Me and my wife went to see the film, loved the film, cried like a lot of people who went there and cried. Of course, I have few concerns about the film, which I will share at the end. But overall, it was a great film. And I want to share a few things about this Jesus Revolution, and as well as bring some of the insights concerning some of the things that the Lord did in the Jesus Movement that I believe all of us can benefit from. So to start from the beginning, is the Jesus Revolution is known as the Jesus People Movement, was a Christian revival that began in the late 1960s and continued into 1970s. It started in the United States and quickly spread all around the world and even in Europe. Now, the movement was characterized by a surge of interest in Christianity among the young people. And man, do we need that today. Many of whom had previously been a part of counterculture and the hippie movement. These individuals rejected traditional forms of religion and sought more of a personal, authentic experience of spirituality. Does that remind you of something? Sort of like what we have right now in our culture. The Jesus Revolution emphasized a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a commitment to evangelism and actually social justice, and it rejected the materialism and consumerism. It also saw the rise of contemporary Christian music. The Jesus Revolution has significant impact on American and global Christianity, with many of its themes and practices continuing to influence Christian culture to this day. Now, it did several impacts on Christianity. One of them was evangelism and outreach. There was a huge emphasis on people sharing their faith with other people. It brought a renewal emphasis on evangelism in many churches, and it created new forms of outreach such as street evangelism and youth ministries. Second thing that Jesus Movement and Jesus Revolution brought is contemporary Christian music. There was a surge of new artists that rose up, like Larry Norman, like Andre Crouch, and my favorite one is Keith Green. Oh Lord, Your Beautiful song. Come on, amazing song. And so that's actually around that time that Keith Green rose to, you know, being known. Another emphasis of Jesus Revolution brought into Christianity is focus on concern for the poor and marginalized. This led to the creation of new ministries and organizations focused on social justice issues and renewed emphasis on people that are poor, orphans, and the widows. And it actually sparked a charismatic movement as well. Jesus Revolution was closely associated with the charismatic movement, which emphasized spiritual gifts as described in the New Testament as speaking in tongues and prophecy. And it helped to form a new Christianity that is more experiential and expressive. Here are my five takeaways from this film. The first one is real revival happens when people get saved. Something happens when people are converted to Christian faith. You know, there's a lot of revivals where people get renewed, and that's good. Where people get healed, that's great. When people get delivered, that's also amazing. But when people go from light to darkness, when people get saved, when people get regenerated, get born again, that is, I believe, the mark of genuine and true revival. I love this clip about the water baptism that was so impactful in this film. People getting baptized in the river. Something we started to practice.
It's just water. What? I'm just saying, why is it going to prove?
Right, it's just water. Why are you freaking out?
I'm not freaking out. Okay, I'm freaking out a little bit.
You're going to be fine.
You can fully accept Jesus Christ.
You see?
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
spoil for those of you who didn't see the film, but this is a very powerful moment.
Life will never be the same. You're welcome.
How'd that feel?
You'll see.
Hi.
Greg, right?
Yeah.
I've been praying for this moment since I first met you. Have you decided?
I don't know.
You want to decide right now?
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Wow. And pray with me. Lord Jesus,
Greg.
I know I'm a sinner.
Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner.
But you are the Savior of the world.
You are the Savior of the world.
I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
I repent for my sins.
I repent from all my sins.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and friend.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and my friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. I baptize you. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Come on. That's incredible. People getting saved is the most beautiful thing. It's the joy that brings just to the church, to God's angels, to God. And so I think that we all should, as pastors, as leaders, should never get settled until we see greater harvest of people getting saved. We should do everything we can. And that's just an encouragement. That's just the motivation for me from this film about the beauty of seeing new people giving their life to Jesus Christ, especially those who were lost. The second thing that I want to highlight about this film, and it's true about revivals, is that tradition can stand in the way of revival. Sometimes we're so married to our methods that we actually divorce our mission. We're so committed to our styles that we actually are not committed to the Lord's purpose and great commission. And I want you to watch this short clip. It really like produces a lot of emotion in my heart because it's so true that sometimes we miss the heart of God for the lost people because of our traditional ways.
Jeanette tells me you're a pastor.
Yes, currently.
I know we must seem pretty strange. But if you look a little deeper, if you look with love, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places. So to answer your question, how do I describe my people? They're sheep without a shepherd, chasing hard after lies. And the trouble is, your people reject them. So I ask you, Pastor, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? We can only walk through doors open to us. And your church? Well, that's a door that's shut.
Wow, that has me in tears now. Watching this in the film, as well as just, I could hear the heart of God, that the Lord really wants everyone to be saved. The Lord really wants people to come to the knowledge of Him. And the church is supposed to be a rescue boat, not a pleasure boat. It's not supposed to be a cruise line of all the, just the saints. It's the hospital, first and foremost, for the sinners. It's not an aquarium of exotic fish. We're called to win souls and make disciples. And sometimes our old ways, sometimes our even older generation, and we all are in danger, so I'm not pointing finger at anybody. But in the film, you will see how there were older people who got used to the ties, the hymns, the structure, but there was nobody, there was no kids there, there was no youth there, there was no revival, there was no salvations. And things have to change. We don't have to compromise our doctrine, we don't have to compromise our mission, but sometimes we have to tweak our methods just so we can be more effective in reaching the lost. And people are afraid of tweaking those methods because of their commitment to tradition. And we all feel like our tradition is so sacred and so holy that, you know, sacrificing it, we somehow will compromise on righteousness and holiness. I remember when Hungry Jan, you know, we started to do services in English and we barely spoke English. It was difficult for some of our older people who were like, we don't understand this. You know, we would, you know, add 3-4 songs in a row. I didn't grow up like that. I didn't grow up having drums on the stage, and it was all very scary. This charismatic Pentecostal kind of a way of doing church was freakish, honestly. And so my pastor, who was a missionary at heart, he wasn't focused on the style or even the method. He was focused on the lost. He would always tell us that the lost people are the object of God's care, and they're supposed to be the object of the church's mission. And we had to go through quite some, what felt like it was a compromise, in the sense that we were doing services in English. You know, our traditional way would be to do services in Russian or Ukrainian. And instead of preserving our culture and our language, which is nothing wrong with that, but if we're not saving the lost and we're only saving our culture and our tradition, we're going to have to answer before God. We can miss a revival. We can see a generation going to hell because we're addicted to our culture and to our tradition. When I say culture, I mean our church culture. This doesn't mean we have to conform to the sin in our culture. Pastor John MacArthur says this in his sermon concerning how the hippie movement changed the church for worse.
Another dramatic change happens when a bunch of Jesus freak hippies in the beach areas of Southern California go to Calvary Chapel, which has 30 people, Chuck Smith, 30 people. Before long, with Lonnie Frisbee leading the parade, there's 1,000 kids there, and the church has decided to absorb this, and with it, the culture. And for the first time, the church that I know of in history, the church lets this very defined subculture dictate what it will be. Out go the ties, out go the hymns, out go all the normal and formal things, and the hippie culture, the communal living, you know, kids coming out of drugs and free sex and all of that, that very casual thing. And that's a charismatic church. That's a four-square church. So that's where the movement becomes what we know as Calvary Chapel. The market-driven church comes out of that charismatic world. It doesn't come out of Reformed theology. How does it come out of it? Because the first Calvary Chapel was essentially the church saying, we'll let the culture tell us what we need to be. And that set the thing in motion. And ever since then, churches have rolled over to let the culture tell them what they need to be.
So John MacArthur has a lot of great stuff that he says. I disagree with him on quite a few things. And this is one of them, is that just because the church experienced revival of people coming and getting saved, it is true that when you have a lot of people getting saved, and it's possible to have some of those people bring some of those sinful cultural ways into the church. But if we hold on to tradition, and if we think that wearing a tie and a suit and having a hymn is so holy and sacred, and giving up a hymn but having songs now on a projector and not having a tie or not having a suit is somehow now we are less than. Now, I'm all for dressing up classic and very beautiful on Sunday. I'm all for that. I try to dress up really nice. But at the same time, you know, these things, Jesus did not wear a suit and a tie, most likely. Jesus did not drive a car, you know, to his meetings. And yet, you know, we didn't embrace everything that we see from 2,000 years ago. We evolved in some practical things. And I don't see anything wrong with us pursuing revival and using the methods that we have in our culture, whether it's our phones, our media, to reach more people for Christ. And to say that the hippie movement really destroyed the church and caused all the sin in the church, it wasn't necessarily the movement. It was people in the movement who do cause sinful things sometimes and commit sins. And that happens not only in charismatic circles, that happens in reform circles, that happens in every circle where there are people. Which brings me to the third point, which we've seen in the film, and it's also we've seen all throughout revival, is that God uses flawed people. We see that God used Lonnie Frisbee, who some of you probably have Googled and have seen that he died out of AIDS. I'm actually going to have an interview, and I will put the link below, with his roommate and one of his closest friends, who will give us a little bit more of insight on this interesting character called Lonnie Frisbee. But you see that in the film already, Lonnie Frisbee having some struggles. And of course, he's portrayed like as more of a person who was trying to, you know, show that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are more important than anything else, a little rebellious and some other stuff. And so, but what we do know about people that God uses many times, whether it's Lonnie Frisbee, whether it's Noah, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joshua, Samson, Solomon, David, and others, is people are flawed. And people sometimes are people who make mistakes. I always like to say that the men of God are like gloves, and God is the hand that uses them. And we should never be distracted by the glove and reject the work that the hand of God did because the gloves ripped or because the gloves proved to be flawed. You know, I use a lot of gloves in my house, and some gloves are rubber gloves, some are, you know, more solid, more expensive. But after a while, when you use them, they all get ripped up. And so people are flawed, people are still people, and no matter how much God uses them and how much power of God flows through them, people are still able to make mistakes. Brings me to the fourth thing that I believe was not highlighted in the film, but I think it's important to highlight that, and that is, deeply rooted pain and trauma will affect your ministry if you don't deal with it. Now, Lonnie Frisbee had a very close friend, John Rotherke. And I want you to hear what John shared about Lonnie's both integrity and his issues.
That's really the painful thing for me to have watched, and certainly for Lonnie, you know, because Lonnie was always kind of pure-hearted when it came to all of those kinds of things, you know. We would see these powerful moves of God. I mean, just the presence and power of God moving. And if they had not taken an offering before, he would never allow an offering to be taken after the Spirit of God moved. He said, I will not prostitute the things of the Spirit like that. Wow. So he had a lot of integrity when it came to those kinds.
So Lonnie had, you know, had integrity. And so he's not just was like some kind of like a little, just a hippie preacher. He had an integrity, but I want you to listen what John says about some of the issues Lonnie had.
Thanks. But anyway, so, you know, Lonnie, a lot of people don't realize that Lonnie had some real issues, like growing up. Dad kind of rejected him, his biological father. Stepdad rejected him, gotten molested as a kid. It's in these books. There's three of these books. I'm going to read you a little bit of one of them. This one here is the third one, Set Free. And, you know, Lonnie went through a lot of issues that never got worked out, you know, from the molestations, from the rejection, from all of those kinds of things. And then what happens is he gets these rejections from father, stepfather, molestation. Now he's on the front end. He finds himself on the front end of a move of God with Chuck. And so now he's going to Chuck and saying, Chuck, I've got these things are happening. Yeah. Listen, nobody knew how to deal with that kind of stuff back in that time period of molestation, victimization. No, nobody knew how to deal with that. And Chuck just didn't have the capacity to do it. Plus he's got, you know, a church now that's blowing up to 10,000 people. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? And Lonnie's, you know, got issues. So now he's feeling used and somewhat abused. So now Chuck now kind of, he felt rejected by it. And then he goes to Bob Mumford. Bob Mumford rejects him, gets that. And then at the Vineyard Movement, Lonnie is very controversial. There's all kinds of rumors happening around him. And so what did John have to do? He had to push him away. I mean, which I understand, you know, but, and I was going to stay in the Vineyard.
So I want you to notice something about this person, Lonnie Frisbee. He was at the forefront of the move of God. And yes, we know God can use flawed people, but something that I really want us to learn from this as well. And it's a shocking lesson, warning lesson to me, that if we don't deal with our trauma, with our pain, with our addictions, with our demons, with our problems, and God puts us in the front, and God gives us exposure, starts to use us, it will only magnify the problems. God using you does not fix your internal problems. I've seen this in our church. I've seen this in other churches where people would get on a stage or people would get in the spotlight who have not dealt with abuse, especially, or addiction, addiction, abuse, or some kind of a demonic problem in their life. And what happens is the revival explodes and it actually magnifies the problem. It does not fix it. If you think, or I think, that God starts using me more and it will fix the pornography problem, fix the molestation problem, fix the abused, being abused, fix the, you know, the wounds, the rejection, all of that, it doesn't. It does not fix even our insecurities. It only magnifies it. And that's a scary thought. And so seeing God still using Lonnie Frisbee and then going from one rejection to another, and of course the church, it didn't seem like they dealt with it, or maybe they didn't know how to deal with it, or maybe they didn't have time. We don't know the full scope of it. I'm going to have the interview with John, so we're going to learn a little bit more. But it's just important for us as leaders, pastors, and those of us who are in ministry right now to really take and time to deal with our personal problems and not to expect that when the ministry, when the blessings come, somehow all of these things that we hid under the carpet, they will be dealt with. If you ignore your wounds, they will become infected. And when they become infected, they could become an open door for demonic intrusion. And then the devil wins in destroying our life and then putting shame on the name of Jesus Christ. The fifth thing that I've seen in the movie that I've learned, and I kind of felt that, is the hesitancy toward the supernatural. Like when the miracles were happening, you could see in the film this almost like fear on Chuck's face. And of course, Lonnie is portrayed as this like super charismatic, like ignores the rules and ignores the structure and just kind of goes and, you know, does miracles, gives words of knowledge and rejects the authority and all of this stuff. But I want you to kind of hear a little bit more about some of the background stuff on Chuck and what was happening there at the movement.
Anytime Lonnie started anything, it became viral. And always with signs and wonders. You know, they were not putting stuff in the back room. It was happening out in the front. I think that Chuck, because Chuck came from a four-square background and he saw the abuses of, you know, spiritual, over-spiritualization of things and mm-hmm. gifts of the Holy Spirit not being done properly. You know, I think that he had probably, you know, bias towards those things and didn't want it to get out of control. Because he's more of a teacher, line upon line, precept upon precept teacher, which was great, you know, which got people in the Word. But, you know, if you don't have spirit and truth together, mm-hmm. you have nothing. You know, spirit without truth, you blow up. Truth without the spirit, you dry up. Put the two together and you'll grow up. That was kind of our claim to fame on that deal. But
I think it's just a good reminder for us to understand where you will notice that if you're watching the film, that there is that, you know, a little bit of hesitancy, and Lonnie is portrayed with kind of a light of like a charismatic little fanatic instead of, you know, of course, the movie is about Greg Laurie, and Greg Laurie is the central figure, and so it kind of shows his salvation. It shows how he came in interaction with Lonnie and everything. But because the guy who plays Jesus in Chosen plays Lonnie, he plays it really good, you know, a lot of people get more questions actually about this unique character, Lonnie. And you will notice this thing that, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit, there's a huge like resist, almost like a hesitancy. Not resistance, but hesitancy. And that's what I felt. I don't know if anybody caught that. And, you know, going through the Calvary Chapel, even the local church in here, through their website, doctrinal statements, and you could see right away, you know, hey, we don't believe in this, we don't believe in this, we don't believe in this. And I understand sometimes people get burned by abuses, and so we kind of go to the other extreme where we become extremely hesitant and resistant to the move of the Holy Spirit. And I think the finding the balance where we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and we don't quench the Holy Spirit, both of those things are very important. And not to have the fear, we should be very careful not to have the fear of the fake, but rather to have a hunger for the real. There's always going to be someone who is going to try to abuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The same way as there's going to be people who will abuse the grace of God, there will be people who will abuse the Word of God, taking it out of context. The devil did it in the wilderness. But for us Christians, we must stay balanced by keeping both. I like what John said, the Spirit and the Word, both are needed. And in that film, I did feel like that there was like a little bit of hesitancy or even a little bit of resistance toward the moving of the Holy Spirit and painting Lonnie as a little kind of weirdo, and which a lot of people who are not open fully to the gifts of the Holy Spirit always see people who are used by the Holy Spirit in the way of deliverance, healing, prophecy as like the weirdos, like those crazy ones. You know, being wild and being weird is not the same. I believe that God is wild. I believe the moves of the Holy Spirit are wild. You can't necessarily control it and contain it. You have to steward it. But labeling it as weird just because it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, I don't think it's correct. So that's just my few thoughts about that. So let me know in the comments below, did you watch the film? And what did you think about watching it? The five things that I've shared, do you agree with them or not agree with them? As well as, what are some of the lessons that you have for me and for us concerning this film? Drop this in the comment below. I would encourage everyone to go and see it. I believe it's gonna mark you, bless you. It will be a huge encouragement. Also, watch the video with John where I interview him about Lonnie Frisbee. Hey, thanks for watching this video. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe, and comment if you enjoy this content. There's more to come. And I also stream live every single week, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening to this episode. I believe that you were encouraged, strengthened, and convicted. If this was a blessing to you, would you help and share with your friends, as well as maybe on social media? And leave a review on the podcast where you are consuming this content. It will help us a lot. If God puts on your heart to become a partner of this ministry, go to pastorvlad.org and you can become a partner there. God bless, and remember, you were raised to deliver.